Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Please be seated. Oh, Jesus is playing hardball today. Right? Sometimes, you know, you're used to listening to peaceful, loving, kind Jesus, and then every now and then, boom, he hits you like a bolt of lightning, or like fire from the sky. Right? And I think a lot of the interpretation of this, I would say, is actually predictive rather than prescriptive. Or it's what he is saying is that these are going to be the logical results of me coming to the world. And if it is predictive or descriptive of what will happen after the fact, then of course he was a prophet, because this is exactly what happened in the early Christian community. Right? People were martyred, they were stoned, they were cast out from their families and their friends, and they suffered death and torture. You hear the author of Hebrews going on about that a little bit. She's talking about the Old Testament, and yes, a lot of us believe the author of Hebrews was a she, just a point of fact. And there is actually good scholarship behind it, but I'm not going into that today. She's talking about, of course, what happened to the people who suffered in exile during the kingdom of the exile of the kingdom of Israel. But she could be describing what happens to the early Christians, and indeed she was on purpose, because she's letting us know this is what we all go through when we follow God. And yet, in 21st century America, we don't run into these problems, right? If I proclaim that I'm going to be a Christian, no one's going to stone me. No one's going to crucify me. No one's going to even exile me, right? There's no actual price inherent in our country for discipleship, unlike what the early Christians faced. And now here's the thing, okay? This wasn't just a bunch of people, all right, who said, I'm going to follow Jesus, and people arbitrarily decided to stone them. Just like Jesus wasn't arbitrarily crucified because he was a nice guy. Jesus wasn't a nice guy. He was a good man, and there's a very big difference. He was crucified because he stirred the pot. He was crucified because he spoke up for the people on the margins. He was crucified because he criticized the cruelty of his day. That's why he was crucified. You don't crucify nice people who don't make waves. It just doesn't make any sense to do that. So, and it's the same can be said for the early Christians. They weren't nice people who didn't cause waves. They spoke out against the injustices of their society. They were people who, upon being baptized, okay, recognized that their way of life had to change. And so they said that they were followers of the way, right? So today, when we say, I'm a Christian, right, what we really think about is people who go to church on Sunday and perhaps have a nice coffee hour. Right? And in some cases, also, we also think about, like, for those of us who have been scarred or hurt by the church, we think about people who, through anger, fear, and hatred, make us feel like God is as far off as the night is from the day. Okay? So those are the two things people think about when they think about Christians. They don't think about holy troublemakers who actually make the world around them uncomfortable. They don't think about people who will strive to make sure that the poor are fed. They don't think about people who raise their voices against racism, intolerance, lies in our public discourse. They don't think about those people. They either think about people having coffee at coffee hour, or they think about people who tell them that they're going to go to hell. One or the other. They're not thinking about the followers of the way. Okay? And that's how our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, likes to call it the way of love. Okay, because the followers of the way in the early church knew that they couldn't do things the way that they'd always been done. The followers of the way, upon being baptized, knew that they were going to have fights with their families. Because if you got baptized, what that was doing was violating the way things had always been done. The way they would have put it in Rome was the mos maiorum. Okay? Mos maiorum, which we translate often as moral majority, but really means the way of our ancestors and our present, the way things have always been, okay? So when you got baptized, it wasn't just that you were following Jesus. It was that you were not sacrificing to Caesar. It meant that you were not going to pagan festivals. It meant that to the Romans, you were not doing your civic duty. It wasn't just that you were saying, well, you know, I'm just changing my religion. That's not how that worked. And so when you did that, you were betraying your ancestors. You were betraying those who came before you. You were acting in a way that was contrary to the way things were understood. But now here's the thing. Whether then or now, the way things are stinks. More than half of the people who live in this world, that's 7 billion people that live here, more than half of them are poor and hungry. The way of the world stinks. The way of the world that we have built for ourselves is contrary to the will of God, because the kingdom of God has no room for that kind of garbage, for that kind of cruelty, for that kind of prejudice, racism, all of it. God's got no room for it. And so when you take a stand and say, I'm a Christian, that should put people who are happy with the way things are back a step. It should make people nervous. It should make them go, oh no, this person's about to start preaching at me about how I should be feeding the poor. This person's going to start talking to me how I should respect the dignity of every person. This person's going to talk to me about how I need to actually make sacrifices and love other people. I got no time for that. That's what people should say when they hear, oh, I'm a Christian. And I'll be fair, they don't say it about me either. No one says, oh, Father Brian, he's going to come and scare me today. He's going to come and make me nervous today. Unless, of course, you come to one of my sermons, because sometimes I do that, right? Avoid Father Brian on Sundays. The rest of the week, he's just fine. That's actually the price of discipleship. That we as Christians recognize that the way of the world, the way things are, is not the way it ought to be. And if we recognize that, of course it's going to cause division. Of course it's going to cause a fire that needs to be kindled. Of course Jesus wants that fire kindled, because he looks at the world as it is and says, we need something to change everything, because this is broken. This is sad. This is a violation of God's intention for all people. Of course this is going to cause division. So today, we are blessed to be performing a baptism for Bo Smith. And for those of you who are gathered here today, I'm going to be asking Bo and Bo's godparents and Bo's parents some questions. But there are some promises that we all make when we're baptized. And I am going to dare to say that in trying to follow those promises, we will be following Jesus. I will ask Bo to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, right? I'm going to say, seek and serve Christ in all people. Note that word all. Loving your neighbor as yourself. And finally, I'm going to say, will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? These are the promises we make in our baptism. Now, here's the thing, okay? If there's one thing that's lacking today, there's actually a lot that's lacking today, but let me back it up. If there's one thing I can say, obviously, that's lacking, it's respect. We like to say in this country, you have to earn my respect. No, I don't. No one has to earn your respect. You're not that important, okay? I don't have to earn God's respect. God just gives it to me. And if I don't have to earn God's respect, I don't have to earn anyone's respect. Respect and dignity that is accorded to every person who is a unique and special reflection and image of the God who made them. This is what it means to follow our baptismal vows. And so, my prayer for us today is that we would recognize what it means to be followers of the way. That we would recognize that it might put us at odds with people, that it means not being comfortable with the world around us, because it is not the kingdom of God and it never will be. That we would strive for justice and peace and dignity, that we would make waves in following Jesus, and that when Jesus asks us, why do you not know how to interpret the present time, we realize he's also talking to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.